The Holy Gospel appointed for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, today you challenge us again to believe in all of the scriptures as the inspired, revealed, and inerrant Word of God in all of its truth and purity. And yet, Heavenly Father, many today don't believe in the Bible as the actual Word of God, to be taken literally, word for word, but claim that it merely contains the Word of God with multiple and several interpretations. Therefore, help us by the wisdom and guidance of your Holy Spirit to be steadfast in our faith and trust in all of Scripture as breathed out by the Holy Spirit and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The words for our meditation today is taken from the epistle lesson appointed for this Sunday, St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, the third chapter, with special attention to verses 14, 16, and 17. "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and competent, equipped for every good work." This is the Word of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our personal Savior and the Lord of our Christian life, all Scripture is inspired or breathed out by God. And yet, if I were to ask you this morning, is all of Scripture inspired and revealed as the inerrant Word of God in all of its truth and purity? Or is all of Scripture merely the words of men written by the Old Testament prophets and the evangelists and apostles in the New Testament? And why? Because over the past 3 decades, since 1990, Americans view the Bible as the Word of God, but not literally, but only as a holy document. This is especially significant when we consider the fact in the last Gallup poll 2 years ago, in the year 2017, even though 71 of Americans continue to view the Bible as, again, a holy document, only 24% of Americans believe that the Bible is the actual Word of God. To be taken literally, word for word. While 58% of Americans accept the Bible, but as long as there are multiple interpretations to Scripture. And that's precisely what is happening in many Christian denominations today. Whether we like it or not, sad to say, there are many Christians who do not accept nor believe the Bible to be the inspired, revealed, and inerrant Word of God in all of its truth and purity. Instead, they claim that the Bible merely contains, it doesn't say is, but contains the Word of God. And therefore is not to be accepted as God's Word in everything it says, word for word. This is especially true when it comes to the interpretation of the Bible, in which many have questioned, have changed, have compromised the Word of God, especially in the areas of ethics and morality. This has become quite evident in their acceptance of abortion, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, the ordination of women, and a host of other issues confronting us, not only as a society, but especially as a church. In other words, many Christian denominations have caved in to the pressures imposed upon them by our society, and doing what all of us have known to accept what is politically correct nowadays. And yet, what does St. Paul say in our text for today? St. Paul writes, all Scripture is breathed out or inspired by God, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. In other words, to teach, to reprove, to correct, and to do that which is pleasing in the sight of God, and do what God expects us to do when it comes to many of these moral and ethical issues that confronts us today. As a matter of fact, as Timothy was about to begin his ministry as a pastor, St. Paul admonished him, saying, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed from your mother Eunice and from your grandmother Lois, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, St. Paul had a very close relationship with young Timothy. St. Paul called him my true son in the faith. In other words, St. Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy, as he told him in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Yes, St. Paul encouraged young Timothy to tell it like it is. No ifs, ands, or buts about the truth of God's Word. He encouraged Timothy to be ready as he began his ministry as a pastor, to be prepared in all circumstances, to speak the truth in love, whether to reprove, rebuke, or exhort. But St. Paul told them to do it with great patience and careful instruction. That's precisely what pastors are required to do today in their own ministry of preaching and teaching God's Word. St. Luke writes in the book of Acts, "Keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought and bought with his own precious blood." In other words, pastors are expected, and I know that better than anyone else, by virtue of their call from the congregation to serve as overseers and as shepherds of the church of God. As a matter of fact, St. Paul writes, "This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Yes, as servants of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God, pastors are required and entrusted with the strong duty and responsibility to preach and to teach only the Word of God in all of its truth and purity, and not preach and teach their own interpretation from what they read from Scripture. St. Peter makes this very clear in his first letter. He tells pastors, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. And when the chief shepherd comes, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And why did St. Paul say that to young Timothy? Listen to what it says in our text. The time will come when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers, yes, and pastors, to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. And unfortunately, again, sad to say, that's precisely what's happening in many Christian denominations, not only in the United States of America, but throughout the world, in which many people are having itching ears, suiting their own passions, and wandering into myths. In other words, using their own interpretation of Scripture that makes sense to them, instead of listening to the truth of God's holy word. That's precisely what St. Peter writes again in his second letter. He warns us, saying, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Bible, as the Word of God, was not written by the prophets with their own interpretation, or by the will of men or women or children, as I was speaking to the children this morning, but by the very words spoken from God as they were carried, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's precisely what St. Paul encouraged Timothy to do in his ministry at the end of our text. He said, as for you, Timothy, always be sober-minded endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And that's what is expected from pastors. Do the same in their spiritual care of the people in their congregation. Now, what about us again? What about you and me? After listening to what St. Paul says to young Timothy, what do we believe and confess here at Shepherd in the Pines Lutheran Church? Do we believe that all of Scripture is inspired, revealed, and the inerrant Word of God in all of its truth and purity? Or do we sometimes also, in our moments of weakness, of temptation, believe that maybe, just maybe, Scripture was written by men, prophets, evangelists, and apostles without the inspiration by the Holy Spirit? I hope not. I hope and pray today that we will always believe and accept the Bible to be the Word of God. And if we have been tempted, and all of us have from time to time, to question or to doubt or even for that matter compromise the Word of God, God forgives us again today through His Son Jesus Christ. When that has happened to us, as we repent and promise God the Holy Spirit to be faithful to the truth of God's Holy Word, the Word of God which is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that it will make us all wiser unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. May our prayer today be the words we sang together in the hymn of the day. How precious is the book divine, by inspiration given, bright as a lamp, its teaching shine, to guide our souls to heaven. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be and abide with us all unto life everlasting. Amen.